Welcome to the Fitness and Lifestyle Podcast. I'm your host, Danny Kennedy, and I'm here to help you become the very best version of yourself. What's up, guys? Welcome back to this week's episode of the Fitness and Lifestyle Podcast. And today I'm joined by a past guest of the show, a good friend of mine, co-founder of Athletic and Joe Tambo. Welcome to the show again, man.
Thanks for having me, mate. Excited to be on.
Absolute pleasure to have you on, as always. I'm looking forward to our chat today. We've got plenty to get through. So we'll kind of start off where we were talking about just before I hit record and get you to fill us in a little bit with how Athletic and went throughout last year. Obviously, 2020 kind of smacked everyone right in the face with COVID, and a lot of businesses suffered. And it was interesting to see like what businesses either suffered immensely and pretty much shut down. Those that just got affected in some businesses got affected even in a positive way, really. But how did you guys kind of handle the year and what did you take from it?
Yeah, it was an interesting one. I think, you know, you look back to 12 months ago, well, March last year, I think, was when it really hit everyone, especially here in Melbourne. And I think, you know, for most business owners, or like you say, everyone sort of pressed the, oh, fuck, button. Like, what are we going to do? Like, not only are we, you know, how are we going to sell our product, one. Two, how are we going to survive, you know, the unknown, really?
Yeah.
I think for us, we quickly gathered as a team and sat down and thought, well, we're going to have to change our marketing strategy here. And our sales strategy, because I think it would have been naive to keep carrying on with like hype launches and our traditional business model of like hype. It wouldn't have been sensitive to the climate that we're in when, you know, we were in the unknown. So, yeah.
A lot of people contracted, didn't they? Like not only just businesses, but people in general.
Yeah.
The initial instinct for most people is to contract and cut back on expenses, cut back on on everything because like you said, the unknown of what's going to happen.
For sure. So we, that initial stage, we were like, right, we can't carry on launching products and, you know, 5 days to go, you got to cop our shoes, this and that. So we shifted and we moved to, we changed all our messaging to, you know, I think for us, fortunately, the only thing people were doing at home were one, online shopping, and two, working out. So we had a product that people were able to work out in. So we quickly, like including yourself, got all of our influencers in like all of our kicks and changed the message into like work out from home, fight back from home, et cetera. You know, did gift with purchases, like resistance bands and stuff like that. Changed all our message into, you know, you need these kicks to work out from home. We do gift with purchases. We offer discount codes. And instead of trying to launch new products, we brought back all of our best sellers.
Okay.
And we had them available online throughout that whole period.
Was that a matter of, so you said before you kind of had to change the structure of how things were running previously.
Yep.
Was there certain shoes or certain colours or even certain stock that you'd planned to launch that you then had to like cancel or call quits on? And then also like in that process, did that mean like did you guys lose money on orders that you'd put in or kind of that you'd been sampling for a while and got kind of fucked over with manufacturers and things like that? Or how did that go?
Yeah, so it was basically a big pause button to anything new. And we sort of forecasted and looked at the year holistically and thought, well, when can we come out and launch again? And I spoke to other people in other brands and sort of said, when do we think this is going to be okay? Everyone sort of thought June, July, sort of 4 to 5 months before. Yep. And then, you know, it wasn't really until, you know, we're only out of it really now. So it wasn't until basically August, September, October did that consumer confidence come back. Were people back in the gym? Were we able to actually go, okay, let's pull that trigger again and let's bring out our new releases and revert back to our usual marketing strategy, which is hype launches, limited numbers, get them on influencers out and about. Because, you know, that's what creates that hype of actually seeing people out in the gym, of people doing things, of getting those cool shots. There's no point in releasing new products when, you know, the only shots you could get were people at home. We also... Victoria was obviously I mean, we copped it the worst out of Australia. So we sent all of our products
interstate
and stuff like that. So yeah, exactly. All our photo shoots went interstate. Ash, our photographer in Queensland, got all that, you know, super cool content for us over there. And then thankfully, man, I think over the year, we actually ended up having, with the change of strategy, then rolling into the launches, we actually had our best year to date. I think we sold, you know, just over 10,000 shoes. So it was just That's nuts, insane, man. Yeah, so like from a situation that you could have looked at and been like, fuck, like we're just going to have to bow down here and not do anything and pull back. We actually probably did the opposite. Fortunately, because people were still working out at home and online shopping was like the biggest thing and craze that you could do. I mean, the I think everyone was best mates with the postman by the end of it. So
coming in for coffee and a few biscuits.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, we're lucky in that regard. But I also think, yeah, with the change of strategy to be in line with what was going on, to really push that message of, you know, get these kicks to work out from home. Make yourself, I think as well, people felt better at home buying something and having something roll in or something to look forward to, especially in Victoria. You're at home the whole time. It's like, even I was buying something every week.
Because that little dopamine hit that you couldn't get from really anywhere else because you're just doing the same thing every single day.
100%. Yeah. So like, I think online shopping was up. So yeah, we're able to look, change our strategy. And then as the time passed and as that consumer confidence grew and as we started to get more out and about, we're able to shift back to our traditional strategy, which and what our audience knows us for, which is the hype launches and the limited releases.
So aside from obviously being pumped with the fact that the numbers ended up quite good for the year, was there anything that you took away from having to kind of pivot and change strategies that you've managed to hold on to coming into 2021 and that you'll probably potentially keep doing moving forward that you weren't doing previously?
Yeah, for sure. I think the main thing was it gave us the confidence that we didn't just have to drop shoes in limited runs. I think now, you know, we're coming up to 4 years of being in the sneaker game and being in business, and it gave us the confidence that we can have shoes online all the time that people will buy. So we're now going to have we'll touch on soon our brand new sneaker, but a lot of our best selling sneakers from the years previous are just going to be readily available online all the time. So our customers can come on and buy those shoes, which will supplement the launch strategy.
Was there a massive increase in sales through like Afterpay and things like that? Did you see last year?
Yeah, Afterpay, for anyone that has their own business, and if you don't have Afterpay online or ZipPay or whatever it might be now, there's a few of them. Yeah, it's just, it accounts for so many sales. I think people, you know, it's just like, oh, instead of paying, you know, for our shoes, they're $130 or $120, instead of paying $120 in one hit, I'll pay $30 every fortnight. It just makes that purchase, it almost makes you not think, you just do it.
Feels like less of a risk.
Yeah, exactly.
Financial risk, I suppose.
Yeah. So yeah, Afterpay sales definitely went up. Yep.
Tell us about the relationship that you guys have with the UFC, like particularly the athletes that you've worked with. I mean, this year's been quite good to you guys in terms of the athletes that you've that you've worked with on shoes and collabs and stuff previously, considering how some of these athletes are performing in the last few months in particular. So To kind of run the listeners over like some of the athletes that you've actually had a bit to do with, and then also how this kind of relationship even comes about, and what I guess the plan is moving forward with the UFC and the relationship that you've got.
I think it's a funny one. I'll take it back to probably the start. I think when you think of when we started really in that first year, you know, we talk about you with Unify and like, you know, what are the next steps? After you sell your first product, what are the next steps to constantly evolve a brand? And I talk to you about how big collaborations are all the time. And I think for us, you know, when you think of sneakers, you naturally go Jordan and Nike, or, you know, Kanye with Adidas and Yeezys or whatever. So for us, when we're thinking about, okay, we've got some momentum and traction, who's really going to take it to that next level? We always naturally, you always naturally think ball sport athletes. And for us, we quickly learned that most ball sport athletes already have existing shoe deals.
Shoe deals, yeah.
And then I was actually having a coffee with our business coach, Torbs.
Yep.
And he mentioned to me, he's a big UFC fan himself. He just said, oh, what about the UFC space? And to be honest, at that stage, other than Conor McGregor, I probably was a very very casual fan. I mean, most people know who Conor McGregor is, but yeah. I didn't know much more than that. Wasn't really into UFC. And then as I looked into it, like these guys and girls have huge followings.
Cult-like followings.
As well. And they are like hype masters. Like,
well, that's what they
do. That's all they do.
It's the fight game, yeah.
Exactly, it's the fight game. So they are like the best at hyping themselves up, and then their apex is their fight.
Mm.
So on that angle, and they, like, you know, obviously have the right look, fitness for us. You know, they're sort of like everything sort of just aligned. Even for us with our releases, it's all hype, and then the apex is the actual launch night. So there was the alignment there. There was the sports side of things. They got a really cool look, and they like getting they really bought into like wanting to work. So
I think as well, like, yeah, you think of the shoes that you guys put out. You're not putting out shoes that are made to go and play basketball in, or no, made to go and play football in, or
100%.
So with the UFC, it fits perfectly.
Yeah,
they're only wearing shoes outside of their actual given sport. They're not wearing shoes at all when they compete. So it's kind of like exactly what you're after.
Exactly, and like, you know, exactly like you just said, they're an athleisure shoe. So they use them in the gym and training them. So there's just that perfect alignment. I then started reaching out, you know, DMs, and people think like when you talk to these huge athletes and whatever, you know, how do you even get in touch with them? Literally, like, unless you ask, you don't know. So started sliding into a few DMs, started reaching out to a few managers, started having phone calls with the States, and then eventually was able to lock in our first collaboration with TJ Dillashaw, who was a champ at the time.
Yep.
That was just... We'd collaborated with Will Sparks previously.
Was there much resistance from TJ initially, or did it just happen a lot easier than what you
questions.
Expected?
Yeah, lots of questions. Like, obviously, you had to get in lots of product. You had to trial it. Mm-hmm. And he was just bought in so much. Like, he was so excited about the fact of, like, designing his own shoe,
mm-hmm.
As you would be. And, like, you know, he's then on – I'll never forget, like, he's on a flight to Vegas for his fight, and, you know – yeah, he's just on his Instagram story, just posting the shoes, like talking about them, this and that. And you're like, this guy's going to be in a fight on Sunday. The whole world's watching. It was just insane to see our brand in line with that.
Yeah.
And you know, it's just crazy. Like, you pinch yourself moments of being on the phone with TJ Dillashaw, or being on, you know, we've now worked with, some of the names like Francis Ngannou, huge heavyweight champ of the world, baddest man on the planet. And it's like, this Melbourne brand 4 years ago that no one heard of is now worn by the baddest man on the planet. Like, you're just like, whoa, how'd that happen? But Francis, TJ, Alex Volkanovski is also a champ. Thug Rose just won the championship. We've done some work with her. Paige Van Zandt, Michelle Waterson. It's just like, whoa. So constantly in talks. And basically the alignment of, you know, fitness, gym, hype, everything about it just cohesively, it's like a match made in heaven for us, and they're hype masters and just work so well. So constantly looking and talking to managers, and got some great rapport with a lot of these UFC managers now in the States. So constantly on the phone. So hopefully a couple more collabs. You'll definitely see a couple more collabs in the years to come.
Fantastic. Is there any, do you reckon there's any possibility or any chance of, or is it even worth trying to go through the actual UFC as a whole? Or is it hard because each athlete individually has their personal sponsors and stuff like that?
Yeah, it's an interesting one. So the UFC, I don't know, like, feel like the listeners, like Dana White and with what he does, and like there was a Reebok deal, and now they've moved apparel partners, and the fighters actually like always talk about, there's always like pay disputes going on with like what they're getting paid and sponsors and whatnot. So there is that. We do have a little niche there where we are able to get them to wear our product and promote our product. exclusively like throughout the time before fight week.
Yeah.
When they're then like shifted into whatever product the UFC makes them endorse. So yeah, it's a, I don't know if we'd ever go the UFC as a whole. I think the individual athlete is definitely the way we like it. And, you know, we get them to post in – we've tried to tie in the launches of the shoes in line with their fight. So, like, you know, they'll post an image in the week of their fights and they're getting upward of 100,000 likes, you know, promoting their product when the eyeballs of the world are on them. And it's just – yeah, it literally is pinch yourself. And the website traffic, like – I think TJ, as an example, the day he posted, we had like over 10,000 website clicks. And it's just like...
It's huge numbers, you know,
it's just like, whoa, like, yeah. Literally, you can't compare it.
I always talk about, obviously, manifesting and I talk a shitload about kind of mindfulness and meditation stuff and writing down your goals and things like that and just becoming super intentional and clear about exactly what you want. So what... Is there anyone, and I'm pretty sure I know the answer, but is there anyone or any, I guess, sport or type of athlete individually that you would love to just have sign with Athletic and, in the future?
One person. I think, you know, in the MMA space, like you look at your Connors and your Israels and, you know, there's a lot of big boxers now as well. Like we do a lot of work with, you know, Zarafa and a few of the Aussie boxers, and yeah, I think it'd be, I don't know who it is, but I think it'd be someone in that MMA space. I mean, Conor McGregor would have, you know, obviously he's just, man, what did he sell his whiskey brand for just last week?
Like I think he sold their shares for $600 million or something like that.
Yeah, so, you know, he's the man and just totally changed the whole fight game. You know, so yeah, I think it would definitely be someone in the combat space.
Yeah.
Conor would have been ideal, but I don't know. I don't know, maybe whoever the next Conor McGregor is, if...
Yeah.
would it be ideal?
What about outside of combat sports? Is there any other sports that you've kind of looked into or that you think could potentially work?
Yeah, we've done
it. Like you said, it's a bit hard with most ball sports considering the athletes are usually signed to a specific shoe brand. But
Yeah, no, dude. Like, we've done a lot of work with, like, AFL boys, NRL guys and stuff like that. And like the AFL women's and stuff like that, like collaborated just for product. But yeah, even like soccer, there's some huge names. Like imagine doing a shoe with like a Ronaldo or something or something like that. Like these global stars. So yeah, always on the hunt. It's a hard one, mate. I don't know who on the spot. Ronaldo or Conor McGregor, how about that?
The one name I expected you to say didn't come out.
Who?
Ricardo.
Oh, mate, yeah. Our man. Yeah, Daniel Ricardo would be... another one, though, like in the space where it's not ball sport, like in Australia, I think he would be like the man because, again, cult following, huge following, super cool guy, cool look, doesn't require the shoes for what he's actually doing, tools of trade, like it'd be a training thing. So, yeah, Dan Ricardo, like, literally ticks every box.
Yeah.
So, he'd be the ideal one. And I think with that cult following, like, you know, there's 300,000 at Albert Park. Over the 4 days it's here, so like, you know, most people go to watch him. So you can imagine the fanfare he'd create with having his own shoe.
After last year being such a good year sales-wise, surprisingly, I guess, for you guys, I would imagine. So what's this year been like? Have you seen has the trend continued to stay in the same direction, or have you seen a drop now that people are going back to work and out of lockdown, or what's it look like this year?
I think it was important to look at what we'd been able to achieve. As I said, we're coming up to 4 years now, which is pretty crazy. So, like, the database has continued to grow. All the socials have continued to grow. The start of the year has been really good and really promising and, you know, ticking all the boxes. So, yeah, now it's time to, you know, keep up with the new releases, keep the audience excited with the new releases and continually work with new athletes, collaborate with people that are really going to get the product out there, get a lot more PR, get the eyeballs on the brand and keep growing all those numbers and keep growing sales. So, yeah, excited for what's to come in 2021 because, like, to move 10,000 shoes during the year of a pandemic, like, literally – Now,
are you able to give us an idea of what that number looked like pre the 2019?
Yep, it's probably up by a couple of thousand. Yeah,
that's awesome.
Yeah, so probably like a
That's like, I mean, even on a normal year, that's a huge amount of growth.
Yeah, exactly. And this year, like, just excited to grow even more, and we're really excited about our new product, which. Yeah, got here today, so...
Yeah, so tell us about that. Firstly, when did the process start for the new shoe?
Yep.
For those that are watching, I mean, even those that are watching, the shoe might be a bit too far away, but you'll be able to see this shoe on socials as of Wednesday the 5th. So you may be listening to this and it's probably already up on socials, but we'll make sure you can get a good look at it. It's obviously a completely new design. When did this process start? And then also, was this pushed back because of last year? And then when can people kind of purchase it and get their hands on the new shoe?
Yep. It's funny even looking at it today. Like, I know you, DK, were, you know, in our first shoe that we ever released and, like, Robbie, my partner, and I sort of designed that one and briefed it in and gone from there compared to this. It's called the Axel, the new sneaker. So we've got the biggest thing on it is our new custom athletic insole.
Mm-hmm.
So this is about just over 2 years in the works, which Matt Harrington designed. So, yeah, it's been a long process, a lot of samples,
yeah.
A lot of finessing to get to a final product that we're just so excited to release. So, yeah, got our own custom athletic insole, got a neoprene upper, mesh toe box, elastic strap, some awesome elements. Got a suede, a nice suede heel piece at the back, and, yeah, just like...
Like you said before.
And just heel support. Difference. I don't know. I just look at it and smile, man. It's like looking at something you love. It's just your baby. So, yeah, it's just...
I think it is insane. Like, even for anyone listening that has ever purchased the original design of the athletic and shoe, as good as it is, like, when you compare it to this, it's just insane to see the difference in... And particularly in such a short period of time as well.
Yeah.
But the transformation of what the shoe started with compared to what it is now. So when you started design for this shoe, I mean, there's obviously... a bunch of different pieces to the puzzle when you're trying to put together a shoe, but how does it all start? Is it just literally by drawing up a design that you like, or is it reaching out to the manufacturer and just getting an idea how does that process work?
Yeah, so Matt, our designer, will start by literally drawing on, like, his computer a few different, like, upper silhouettes for us to, like, have a look at.
Mm-hmm.
And literally go from there. So with this one, the objective was to still be, you know, an athleisure shoe, to sort of be a step up from the Altus.
Yep.
And to feature our own sole. So, excuse me.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he gave us a few different options, and then the sole was the biggest part.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this was like, 2 years in just the sole development to get it to ready for market.
Yeah, right. How many, you know, even when with Unify, for example, like the sampling process for the activewear that we launched, like it's a fucking long process.
Yeah.
And you can, you know, poor communication can lead to this fucking horrendous samples and big delays in time. So how different is that right there compared to the very first sample that came through of that design?
Like, yeah, extremely. Like,
yeah, okay.
Yeah, like, literally, I think we probably had 12 samples before we got to the final product.
Minimum. Yeah, okay.
Literally 15 samples of just different components of the shoe that needed changing to be refined to get to a point where you're actually happy to launch it.
Mm.
This was meant to be launched, midway through last year. So we're basically...
A year
later.
By about a year.
Yeah, and obviously we had a great year last year and we're able
in hindsight, has that worked in your favour? Do you reckon the shoes evolved more since?
I think as any, like anyone that owns a business or releasing a product, you always put something down when you want to release it.
Mm-hmm.
We were fortunate in the sense that last year went so well, we were able to actually push back the time to actually launch it. Mm-hmm. And it's now at a stage where, yeah, we're just so happy with it and we're just so excited for our audience to get our hands on it. We've got so many cool colorways to release in it that, yeah.
So for those that have that are listening at the moment, I mean, again, if you're watching, you can probably see the colorway. But so what are you launching with first? And I guess by the end of 2021,
yep.
How many different colorways do you reckon that the audience will be able to get their hands on?
Yep. So the first colorway we're launching is called Stealth.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like a gunmetal gray neoprene with a black mesh and some, yeah, the suede and we've got some 3M details and stuff like that on it, which is super cool. The next one, sneak peek for your audience, DK, is the bubble gum.
They're cool, man.
Purple and pink, which would be the second colorway. And then after that, we've probably got 15 other colors that will launch just this year. So, lots of colors to come out and they've all got their own little story and they'll all have their own little marketing angle. And I think that's another thing, like I talked to you about with Unify. Like, yeah. I think any product you release needs to have a story, an angle,
yep.
an ambassador to talk about the product or why you're collaborating. And I think, each launch has its own story and I'm very excited to get all the different stories out there. As well as get the shoes out there, but the different stories behind each shoe and why they're different and why they're out in the market.
For example, the first one is a Stealth,
yeah.
And you know from today, I think you mentioned right at the start before you record that it's launching in about 2 weeks' time.
Yep.
Yeah. So I'm assuming like you've got all the stock already.
Yeah,
for that launch. So how soon do you need to have all the stock for the next colorway and the following one? And you know how far in advance are you having all that kind of ready? Because you know taking into account that most likely or potentially there could be stuff ups
yep.
in terms of delivery timing and all that type of stuff.
Yeah, which has been a massive
thing
for everyone at the moment: stock delays and coordinating freight and transport to get here on time. So yeah, we've basically got in the warehouse at any given time 3 to 4 months of launches
right
at a time.
Yeah, okay.
So we're always working 12 to 18 months in advance of what's coming out in, you know, July next year, August next year, making sure those samples are coming to a stage where they're ready to be ticked off and ordered. And that's a really – you've got to be really on top of that to make sure that, one, your samples are ready – and at a stage to order so that you can work that far in advance because, like you said, you can't just have Stealth in the warehouse, for example, and then just launch that and then have another container come in. One, doesn't make sense economically. Two, it'd be an absolute pain in the ass to try and get a container for every single shoe you're releasing. So, our ordering and our planning needs to be at a level where we're always – ordering well in advance, always having that stock well in advance. And you also have to make decisions well in advance of what's going to be released. Is that color still going to be popular?
Mm-hmm.
Is it still on trend? So, we're always working 3 to 4 months in advance. So, it's a long process. By the time you get your sample ticked off, make all your changes, have it at a stage where the product's ready to launch, and then order, it takes a month to get here.
Yep.
Sit in the warehouse, so we always have to be about 18 months in advance.
Interesting. So, what's next? So, 2021, I'm assuming is just going to be this. Like, you're not releasing any other shoes this year.
It'll be mainly
new colorways.
Axel, lots of new colorways.
Yep. And then, are you still ordering in stock for the first ever shoe, or does it get to a point where you then phase that shoe out, or what's the plan?
Yeah. So the first ever shoe is phased out now.
Yep.
How
do you feel about that?
Yeah, no, it's a sad day. But the first shoe, it is funny. You look back now and you're just like, wow, like, but, you know.
Got to continue to evolve.
Yeah, exactly. Always got to be evolving. So Robbie and I obviously designed that one. The Altus was designed by Matt, which has been our shoe for sort of the last 2 years, which we've had some epic colorways. Mm-hmm. Been a super successful shoe. So that'll still float around for a little while yet. We don't totally want to phase it out because it's still been such a strong seller.
Yep,
and our audience is so familiar with it. So those popular colors can be online for people to buy.
Mm-hmm.
will transition into the axle for the majority of this year. Obviously, there'll probably be... we're talking to a few different people about collaborations,
yep.
And then into next year, we're at the moment working on a bit more of a... got a couple of things in the work with other styles too, so it'll still be awesome. Axle. But we're looking at doing a shoe that's a little bit more street.
Okay, cool.
A little bit more different. And we've also got like a high top in the works.
Unreal.
Yeah, it'd be cool. And then, yeah, obviously we've got another new style that we're working on that is more in the athleisure lane that our audience would be more familiar with. But yeah, as you said, always got to evolve and put new products to market.
Awesome, bro. Well, it sounds like 2021 is going to be quite busy for you. And the shoe itself looks amazing. Like it is such a good looking shoe. I can't wait to... for you guys to put it out there. I'm sure everyone's going to absolutely love it. Especially, I mean, the thing that works so well for you guys as well, I reckon, is, like you said, you do your hype launches and stuff like that. But for those that, the amount of people that I talk to that buy the new colorway, like every launch,
yep.
It's got to be such a plus for you, meaning like any new audience that you get come in, it's just added sales on top of whatever you've already got, considering people love the shoe already.
Sure. And we have like, it is funny you say that because, your core audience, the ones that do the repeat customers, they're obviously the ones you need and really value because they're the ones that are constantly buying the product. And it is funny you say that because, yeah, there's probably a cult following. There is a cult following within that do buy all those new releases. So you do have to put a product out to market that they're going to want to keep buying more colours of.
Mm. Well, man, thanks for coming on the show today. Repeat guest.
Thanks for having me again, mate.
Love it, man.
I love the new setup in here too.
It's good, isn't it? Yeah, don't mind it. You're the first, yeah, so Joe's the first guest with the new podcast setup with the new mics and everything like that. So hopefully his voice sounds good.
Fingers crossed, mate.
Hopefully I hit record as well. but thanks for coming on, man. And for everyone who is tuning into this episode, I think by the time you listen to this, you'll be able to head over to the Athleticum page and suss out the new design. Make sure you jump on the waiting list so you don't miss out on launch night. And yeah, man, thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me again,
mate. Much appreciated.